Our scripture reading this morning comes from Proverbs chapter 16, just two verses, 1 and 9. Verse 1 says, "The plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord." And verse 9, "The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps." This is the word of the Lord. We're spending time this month looking at various proverbs with the goal of becoming more wise as disciples of Jesus. And biblical wisdom, we should always remember, isn't primarily a matter of being smart and intelligent. It's not mainly a matter of your IQ level, your ability to untangle philosophical mysteries. Biblical wisdom is more about skill in godly living, learning how to live in a way that pleases and honors God, is good for ourselves and others. And the beginning, the foundation for a life of skilled, godly, wise living is, it is worship. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." It is as we become rightly related to God as our creator, our sustainer, our savior, and learn to bring every area of life and look to him in area of life, him who is the author of life, for guidance in how to live. This is the beginning point of a life of wisdom. So it's as we get rightly oriented to God with this joyful, reverent fear, this heart of worship, looking to the author of life. And then we come to the book of Proverbs, and we find wisdom and instruction for all areas of life, for our walk with God, for our relationships with others, all the way from raising our kids to how we interact with our neighbors and even enemies, and how to interact with our friends, our spouses, how to handle our money and our jobs, how to handle our time, sex. It's all in there, including the whole area of making plans, as we see here in these two verses in Proverbs 16. And there are a number of verses like it. This whole area of human planning is a theme that runs throughout the Proverbs. And we're just touching on these two verses here that add a very critical part of the foundation and our understanding of what it means to plan with wisdom, to have skill, godly skill in this area of our lives. Planning is a big part of our lives as human beings. We plan out the day, what we're going to do, or the week, or months ahead. You might have plans for a trip you want to take, or a number of trips. You may lay business plans or ministry plans. These are the things that I want to do, objectives we want to achieve, and you lay it out, you plan it, and you pursue it. You implement the plan, you try to accomplish it. We have plans for the big things of life. This changes through the stages of our lives, but we grow up and ask that question at some point, what do I want to do when I grow up? And at some point we get a plan for that, a desire of what we want to be, and that will lead to deciding to go to school or get some other kind of training. We plan the kind of life we want in terms of relationships. Maybe you want to get married, a husband or a wife, and a family, own a house. We make these big life plans. Some people are very detailed in these and write these out. Maybe use some fancy digital tool to make these plans and write them out in steps. And others, maybe you don't consider yourself a big written planner, but somewhere inside you have these sets of of hopes, desires, and plans about the small things in life and the upcoming time frame and the big things of life. And it may change throughout life and somewhat based on personality. Some people say, I don't like to plan too much. I just kind of like to take it as it comes, take a day at a time. Or some people, they're a little further down the road of life and most of those big life milestones are behind them and they are kind of just taking things a day and a week at a time. But all of us at some point, and most of us most of the time, are engaged in a lot of planning. The Bible knows this, and so Proverbs speaks to it in many places so that we can learn how to do this with wisdom. How we can be skilled in doing this in a godly way. Now here's the thing about planning. Let's get to the heart of what this really is, because it's more than just developing a list of things that we want to do and then doing them. What we're doing when we're planning is we are mapping out our preferred future. We are making a plan and hoping to accomplish certain things or acquire certain things or achieve certain things that we believe will be to our benefit, to the benefit of ourselves. And if we have big hearts, benefit to those around us. And you may be expecting me to say, we're inherently selfish beings. Look at us planning to our own advantage. No, this is perfectly normal. It's as normal as waking up every day and feeding yourself and clothing yourself and seeking to provide for yourself and for your loved ones. When Jesus gave the second greatest commandment, he said, love your neighbor as yourself. And he assumes there's a healthy and proper way in which we love ourselves. We take care of ourselves. He's not saying don't do that. He's saying extend that kind of love to your neighbor. Love them as well. So of course we go about planning, mapping out our preferred future. This is all about setting out to achieve and live the life that you want. And there's nothing wrong with that. We just have to bring this all under the wisdom of God and learn how to do this in a godly way, if we want to be wise disciples of Jesus, assuming we do. So, in that case, these two verses in Proverbs 16 are a real good start in helping us approach this planning in a wise way, laying down a really one main principle we want to think about it in a few dimensions, that wisdom calls us to embrace the total sovereignty of God over our life plans. That's really the big idea. Now, that's a challenging idea. We're talking about the whole area of human responsibility and divine sovereignty. The plans of the heart belong to man, generically speaking, men, women, human beings, of course. But the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. The heart of man plans his way. The Lord establishes his steps. We see two sides of the coin here, the part that we play, the part that God plays. There is so much mystery surrounding this relationship between human endeavor, human responsibility, and God's sovereignty. We cannot untangle every part of this knot in a sermon like this, nor do we need to try to. There's a lot of mystery to this, but there are also some things that, from a biblical point of view, are presented as quite straightforward. And one of these is that God is completely and utterly sovereign over all of our life plans. Now let's think a moment about the two sides of this. On the one hand, there's the human side, our planning. And by all means, you should engage in mapping out your preferred future. The plans of the heart belong to man. It's right that we do this. We have to do this. Whether you lay it out and think you're a planner or not, we all do this. We all have some sense of that future that we're trying to live into. And it's for our benefit, for our good. Now, when it says the plans of the heart, the emphasis on the human side in both verses is that there's something that happens in the heart. This is what's spoken of as being on the human side here. So this pictures plans at the level of desire, of intention, of formation. And then it looks at the other side, God's side, is the reply of the tongue, or the establishing of the step. So there's a move here from the internal to the external, from the level of intention to the outcome. And on the outcome side, the Proverbs here are quite clear. It is God whose will is sovereign and who ultimately determines the outcome. So that teaches us that while, on the one hand, by all means, you should map out your preferred future, at the very same time, in all your plans, you should submit to the sovereignty of God. Submit all your plans to the sovereignty of God. See, as God is revealed in Scripture, He is revealed as utterly sovereign, the Creator, the sustainer of all things. Before anything was made, God is, creates and sustains all, has power over all, does as He pleases. He works all things according to the counsel of His will. So all human history is under the guidance of God. Even all the brokenness we see in the world and sin and evil, God is not the author or the agent of any of it, yet it all falls under His sovereign power and will. We see this in a profound way in the book of Job, where even the diabolical work of Satan, trying to ruin Job's life, falls under the sovereign will of God. This is not a theme treated lightly, it's heavy. But it's revealed to us in Scripture. Sometimes we can see God's will, and we can see how even through the evil, God brings about good, as in the cross of Jesus, for example, where He was crucified at the hands of evil men, and yet in that crucifixion, He atoned for our sin to bring us peace with God. There's a lot of mystery when it comes to God's sovereignty, human responsibility, the problem of evil in the world. Now, again, we're not here to try to untangle the whole knot. John Calvin called this whole area an inextricable labyrinth. But the Proverbs assume this foundation, God's utter sovereignty. And they come to the topic of planning and simply say, you can make your plans, and you ought to, but guess what? The outcome, it completely rests with God. The reply of the tongue is from the Lord. The Lord establishes your steps. Now, all that's mentioned here is the planning, what happens in the heart, and the outcome. What's not mentioned but implied here is the process of pursuing these plans. And that's something we need to do. You don't just make your plans and then say, sit there and say, well, God is sovereign. I guess if they happen, they happen. You got to step out and seek to accomplish your plans and live your life. I was at a wedding on Friday, a friend of mine from school. And a couple years ago, I was just getting to know my friend. I didn't know him that well at the time. And I ran into him one day and said, hey, what have you been up to? And he said, well, I'm trying to get married. And not knowing him very well, I had no idea what stage in that plan he was at. Like, do you have a prospect? Are you planning a wedding? And turns out he had a prospect. He had a serious girlfriend, and they were wanting to get engaged, but they had some cultural things they needed to do in bringing their families together. And he had a plan, and he was pursuing that plan. He was taking action and got to be there on Friday and celebrate the culmination, the realization of his plan as they were married. So we make the plan. We step out to achieve it. What the proverb wants us to see, these proverbs, the outcome, ultimately, is under God's sovereignty. So as we, another way of putting it, related how we define planning, as we map out our preferred future, as we ought to submit to the fact that God is mapping out all things according to the counsel of His will, and our maps fall under His and must, they're subordinate to His. We must yield to Him. So we submit all our plans to God's sovereignty if we want to plan wisely. The principle itself, I think, as far as these Proverbs has it, is clear enough, profound, but clear enough. But we have to apply this and grapple with some of the implications. We're going to plan, we're going to take action and submit our plans to God. And when everything goes according to plan, it's not so hard to accept God's sovereignty. I made my plans, I surrendered them to God, and everything turned out. That's not too hard. Probably our biggest challenge in that case is actually giving thanks to God, because we might think that we did it. I made a plan, I pursued it, I accomplished it. We might forget that God is sovereign, and He's still the one who has established my steps. And the reply of the tongue has still come from Him, even when my plans turn out as hoped and expected, as they often do. If we took this proverb the wrong way, we might think, well, God's sovereign, so what does it matter what I plan? And it might lead us to give up on planning, or like we were saying earlier, make a plan and not take steps to pursue it. But that's not a wise approach to planning. This is just trying to sober us up about ultimately the outcome. So we can say that in a normal way, if we make good plans and pursue them, quite likely they're going to turn out. The better the plan, the more likely they're going to turn out. So I want you to try to be good at this and learn to do this according to God's will and kingdom values. And the more we can do that, and another proverb in this very context says, commit your way to the Lord and He will establish your steps. Committing your way to the Lord, it means learning God's moral will, kingdom values and priorities, and making your plans according to that. The more we can do that, the more confident we can be that God would want to establish those steps. We can't make wicked plans, for example, and expect God to establish those steps. I remember reading a few years back about a Mexican drug cartel and a safe house that had been abandoned, and they found in it little like prayer shrines. The worst of the worst drug dealers in the world are trying to commit their way to the Lord, hoping He'll establish their steps. No, that no promise, no guarantee of that. In fact, guarantee God's not going to be honoring and blessing those steps. So wanting to make our plans according to God's will and kingdom priorities. And again, in general, our plans very often work out. It's also not too hard to grapple with this when our plans turn out better than expected. That's cool. It's not hard. I submit my plans to God's sovereignty and they work out even better. Now I have a God story. You tell people that and people are like, cool, that's awesome. Where it gets challenging is when my plans don't turn out, or when sometimes they turn out worse than expected. Then it can be hard to grapple with the God's sovereignty in my plans. If this was my, especially if we think of this in terms of our preferred future, this is what I wanted, this is what I thought was good, even if I laid this out according to kingdom values and it didn't work out, then I can struggle with the questions of why. Why didn't God allow this to happen? Why do my plans get frustrated? That can be much harder. Here's what I've been thinking about, something in my own life. When we moved to Waterloo a little over 4 years ago, it was a time when we had a vague kind of plan that we were going to make a transition in life and move somewhere and get jobs and try to set up more permanently for our family. We were in a transitional school time, and an opportunity opened up here to move to Waterloo, and a great job that my wife said, that's the job I really, really want. And my son got into school here, and we thought, oh, cool, we can all go together, and then where are we going to live? And we found this wonderful house to live in that suited our needs and beyond, and we were able to move to an area close to some dear friends and much closer to our families. It was just one of those things where we had a plan that turned out way better than expected, where we really felt the hand of God upon us, and we'd tell our family and friends, and they'd say, wow, that's awesome. In the providence of God, things turned out better than expected. Not hard to accept God's sovereignty in that case. As some of you know, we had a move again that we just recently did this summer, 8 minutes away from where we were living, not a big move geographically, but a big transition, and I can tell you, it was not our plan. We had a plan to stay right where we were for a number of years, and our plan made sense, and we believe it was for good kingdom priorities and for what worked for our own family. We did not want to move. And yet for forces outside of our control, we had to, and we tried not to, and in the end, we had to. And by God's grace, landed on our feet, found a place to live. We thank God. And I only share all this. I have no great desire to lay out my life story publicly, I assure you. But as I've been working through this message, the Spirit's been surfacing in my heart some frustration. My plans didn't turn out as I had hoped. My preferred future, something cut in, and I've been asking the question. I've been wrestling with God over this. Maybe I haven't been wrestling with God enough. I've been invited here to wrestle with God and just to get in touch with the fact that there's some frustration in my own heart about my plans not working out, and God seemed to have something else in mind. And maybe you've had that too, something that didn't go quite as planned, maybe in a shorter term, or maybe a bigger thing, like a job you wanted, or a program you wanted to get into, or a relationship you wanted, or something, a relationship where there was disappointment. It wasn't all that you expected. It can be harder then to embrace the sovereignty of God over our plans at times like this. Here's where we need to read Proverbs 16 in light of the gospel. Think of Romans 8:28. For those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose in Christ, this is the promise of the gospel. If your life is in Christ, God is working in all things, in the plans that work out as expected, better than expected, or the ones that don't turn out, or sometimes even worse than expected. The gospel promises you, promises me, that God's working in all things for our good. Think of the word that God spoke to the people of Israel in Jeremiah 29 when they were going through a really, really rough period in their history. And this is a verse I think many of us know well. And God spoke this to them. He said, I know the plans I have for you, plans for your welfare, not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. And in Romans 8:28, God's basically speaking the same promise to all those who are in Christ. And it's true even when we can't see it or understand why things didn't work out as we were expecting. Now, this calls us to faith. This calls us to trust in God's goodness, however our preferred future turns out. It calls us to believe that God has our best in mind. And we don't know what God's doing in his plans. It's not, there's our lives, there's other lives, there's what God's doing in the world. And we can yield to him, to his, not just resign ourselves to his sovereignty, but rest ourselves in his sovereign goodness. This can set our hearts at peace and help us to move forward with trust, even in disappointment and frustration. Knowing that as we trust God and follow Jesus, some of our plans will turn out as hoped. Some will turn out better. Some may turn out worse. In all of it, we can trust his sovereignty and his sovereign goodness and believe that God, more so than the specific things you do, is really intent on who you are, how you're doing it, and who you are becoming. And so in all things, he's working together for your good to bring you more and more into conformity to the image of Christ. Let's pray together.